Thank you, choir. Thank you for leading us in worship this morning. If you would, take your copy of God's Word and turn to Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, as you are turning, the children may be dismissed to Children's Church. And if you would stand with me in honor of God's Word, Christ is risen. He is risen. Indeed. Amen. We will begin reading Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. This is speaking of the Lamb, the Lion of Judah, the Lamb that was slain, who is risen, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture says, when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one having a harp and golden bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain and you purchased people to God by your blood from every tribe and language and people and nation. You made them a kingdom and priest to our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and also of the living creatures and of the elders. Their number was countless thousands, or 10,000 times 10,000. They said with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Then I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, on the sea, in the sea, everything in them, say, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him seated on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. The four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, as we stand here, we stand because of your great love for us. We stand because you have slain. You have been slain, and you have shed your blood for us, but you are alive forevermore, Lord Jesus. And this morning we want to praise and honor and worship you. I pray that you would take your word, you would quicken it, you would apply it to our hearts by your Holy Spirit, and that by that same Holy Spirit you would empower me to preach it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God's people have always been a singing people. The people of God have always had a song in their heart. That song at times has been a mournful song, a song of lament, a song of waiting, of wondering, when would God act? That song at times has been a rejoicing song, a song of joy over God's deliverance and his work. And you can trace this all through the Bible. But the events that took place on Easter morning completely changed forever the song that we had to sing. You see, before that, in the Old Testament, the believers looked forward to something. They could sing of God's deliverance. They could sing of God's rescue. But they had not been purchased as yet. They had been called out, but they had not been redeemed by the blood. They had to shed the blood of animals and offer that as an atonement, but it only merely covered temporarily their sin. It pointed to something greater. You could go all the way from Miriam at the Red Sea, where she and the ladies were dancing there and singing as they saw their enemies destroyed in the sea. Or you could go to David, and you could look at him as many times he would sing either in lament or later in rejoicing over what God had done and rescued him. Or you could go to the songs of Asaph, or to the sons of Korah in the Old Testament, who they would gather together and they would sing great praise to the Lord for who he was. Or you could come to the New Testament, and you could find that in the New Testament we also sing and worship. God has placed a song in the believer's heart. It's the song of the redeemed. In the New Testament, we're instructed to sing with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. But here it culminates. It all comes together in the greatest song, the greatest chorus of praise recorded in Scripture, all pointing to Him who lives forever and ever. This is the throne room of God. And God the Father is seated in the midst of the throne, and He dwells in all glorious light, and that is expressed in chapter 4. And around the throne is all these glorious attributes are emanating from the throne of God. It affects everything around Him because everything around Him is majestic. The Scripture speaks of the sea of crystal that is like glass. It speaks of the rainbow that encircles the throne. It speaks of the four living creatures who represent His power and His majesty and cease not to cry out, "Holy, holy, holy," day and night. But in Revelation 5, as all of that's being unpacked, what you have is a question presented. Who is worthy? There seated on the throne is God the Father. He has a scroll. The deed to heaven, or the deed to earth, rather. His plan ready to be unfurled, but who is worthy to take it? And the question is put forward, and there's nobody found worthy. And John, the revelator, cries much. But then he is told to cease crying. Because there, one of the 24 elders who are sitting on a throne, the thrones around God's throne, and praising Him continually, he says, stop. Because the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. He has conquered. And He is able to take the scroll and to open the seals of it. And that's what we have here. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is Jesus Himself. And when John looks, he sees not a lion, but he sees a lamb bearing all the marks of having been slaughtered in sacrifice. But what's unique about this lamb is this lamb is standing. And he has a young lamb. He has horns upon his head representing power and might. And John sees this picture and he instantly recognizes that this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has been slain and sacrificed. The question that we want to answer this morning, what is the song of the redeemed? And the song of the redeemed is the proclamation that Jesus is worthy. Jesus is worthy. He is worthy of our worship. I want to give you 3 points this morning as we look in this passage. Christ is worthy of the saints' worship is point number one. Christ is worthy of your worship. He is worthy of my worship. And that is pointed to right in verse 9 that says that they sang a new song. You, that is Jesus, are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, but then they tell us why. Why is He worthy? Why is He, when no one else could approach the throne to take the scroll, why is Jesus alone worthy of all their praise? It is because He alone has accomplished what no one else could do. He has accomplished the saint's redemption. He has accomplished our purchase back from something. And so, look in Revelation chapter 5. Here's what he says, or here's what the elders around the throne proclaim. They say, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, because you were slain, you were slaughtered. That's past tense. Somebody did it to Him, but He laid down Himself and allowed it to happen. The Scripture says, Jesus said that no man takes my life from me, I lay it down of myself. And if I lay it down of myself, I have also the power to take it up again. Jesus allowed them to crucify Him. He let that take place even though He had been proclaimed innocent 3 times by Pilate. Jesus said to Pilate, you would have no power over me unless it was given to you by one from above. And He allowed Himself to be carried to the cross. That's what was done to Him, but in the process of that being done to him, something happened, and that's in the next line of this song. It says, and you redeemed us. You purchased us. You bought us back. Now, I want to point your direction, your mind's thought, in three ways. In what ways were we redeemed? First, we need to know what we were redeemed from. To be redeemed means to be rescued, to be bought back. It literally means a transaction has taken place. You once belonged to something else or someone else, and now you belong to a new master, a new owner. The scripture says that we are redeemed. Well, first of all, what are we redeemed from? The scripture says that we're redeemed, believers in Christ are redeemed from the curse of sin, the curse of death, the curse of judgment, the certainty of judgment. The scripture says, Paul says in Ephesians, that before coming to Christ, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. That we had the curse of sin upon us, and we had the guarantee that we would be facing judgment apart from God. Our destiny was eternal punishment. Let me illustrate it this way. You know that our destiny, if you've been in church at all, you know that apart from Christ, if a person dies without Christ, their destiny is the fires of hell for rejecting the Lord of all, the Lord of life. Let me illustrate it this way. There was a man named John who became a great man, but when he was 5 years old, he was one of 19 brothers and sisters, only 9 of which survived to adulthood. And one day his father was a minister. This was back in the 17th century. One day, as they went to bed about 11 o'clock at night, suddenly people started shouting to them from the street, "Fire! Fire!" And this family woke up. They lived in the rectory, the parsonage. They woke up, and the roof had actually caught on fire. And as it began to spread and to burn, the pastor and his wife, Samuel and Susanna were their names. They grabbed their children, and they herded them all outside, and in the confusion, they began to do a head count. You can imagine with that many children, that would take a while. And in their fright and confusion, they did a head count, and they realized that one was missing. John. And looking up at that moment in the second story in a window, they saw 5-year-old little John looking out as the flames begin to lick up the house in front of him and underneath him. The fire had spread down, and they were fearful. They began to cry out. Two men of the neighbors, they came and they rushed over. They saw him there. One got on the shoulders of the other, and they reached up and just barely able to grab him from the window and pull him out of the window. No sooner had they done that than the house began to be totally engulfed in flames. The roof caved in. But he was spared. John said, as he grew older, "It was as though I was a brand plucked from the fire, rescued." He grew up, and we know him as John Wesley, the preacher that helped bring about great revivals during those centuries by the work of God. John was facing certain destruction. And in the last minute, someone reached in and grabbed him and rescued him from that destruction. That, brothers and sisters, is redemption. It is our rescue from judgment and from destruction. So when the choir in heaven begins to sing, "You have purchased us," or "You have redeemed us," They're talking of the fact that we have been redeemed from the curse of sin. We have been rescued from certain judgment. But it's not just what we've been redeemed from. They also sing of what we've been redeemed to. Look again in this passage. "You have purchased us, a people. You have redeemed us for God by your blood," for the Father. The purchase price is Christ's blood, but he's redeemed us for God. We've been rescued to God. We were once facing certain judgment, but now Now in Christ, we have been made part of God's family. We've been made, we were once dead, but now in Christ we are alive. We were once lost, but now in Christ we are found. We were once blind, but now we see. We were once facing the certainty of the flame, but now we have the fellowship with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We belong to Him. The second thing that I would say here is that we are also Christ's inheritance. The Scripture says that we belong to Christ. He purchased us. He redeemed us for Himself. We are His reward, and He rejoices over us. He paid the ultimate price on the cross. He shed His blood. He loves you, and He rejoices over you when you've come to know Him as Lord and Savior. We were redeemed from sin and death. We were redeemed to God. Why were we redeemed? Well, look, he says, first of all, that we've been redeemed out of every tribe and language and people from all across the... It's a global redemption. People from out of every tribe and language and tongue have come to accept Christ as Savior. But here it says that we... The purpose for this redemption is that we might become a kingdom unto God of priests. Our purpose is to glorify Him. That's what that means. The reason Jesus redeemed you, the reason He shed His blood was because He loved you and that He wanted to glorify Himself through you. He saw value in you. He loves you, He sees value in you, and He's going to bring glory to Himself through you. We've been made a kingdom unto our God. Then John says, I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. Up to this point, John had only seen these four angels, these four angelic beings, the four living creatures before the throne. But now it seems like his gaze is pulled back, and he sees, I saw thousands upon thousands of angels, and they're all praising God. And the second point this morning is, point number one is that Christ is worthy of the saints' worship. The second point this morning is that because Christ went to the grave, because He went to the cross, because He offered Himself for us, He is worthy of all of heaven's adoration. All the angelic beings begin to proclaim His worthiness. They say in verse 12, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." And what is He worthy to receive? He's worthy to receive all power. You realize that all authority, every dominion, every kingdom, every president, past, president, present, president, say that five times fast, and future, every czar, every emperor, all will one day bow before the Almighty ruler of all, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. To Him belongs every power and dominion. He has all authority. And all of heaven begin to sing this great praise. He has all wisdom. All wisdom springs from Him. He has all strength and might. And He's worthy of all honor and glory. And finally, He is worthy of all blessing. Well, not only do the saints recognize His worth? Not only is Christ worthy of the saints' worship, not only is Christ worthy of heaven's adoration, but the final point this morning, Christ is worthy of all creation's praise. Look in verse 13. I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, on the sea, everything in them. That pretty well covers it, doesn't it? Can you think of anywhere else? He's saying everywhere, in heaven. Above, on earth below, even under the earth. That's those that have already died. He says, even in the sea, everything comes together to proclaim the worth, to proclaim the praise of the One who was slain and rose again. Everything that has breath, every creature that was created, every plant that has been made, every rock, everything points to the praise of Him who rules and reigns forever and ever. And this is what they say, verse 13, blessing, honor, glory, and power be to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. You see, back in the beginning, in the very creation of God, the world was made and formed by the Word of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word. Scripture says that all things were formed by Him, all things were created for Him. He's before, He's the first place. He has the first place in all things. And that it pleased God that through Him, this is in Colossians chapter 1, all the fullness of God would dwell in Christ and through Him to reconcile everything to Himself. Things in earth or things in heaven. The way He did it was by making peace through His blood on the cross. Now listen to me. Going back all the way to the beginning of creation, everything was created for the glory of God. You are created to know fellowship with God and to glorify Him forever. You're created to enjoy His presence and to walk in His fellowship and to rejoice in who He is. But that was marred, that was rent with the original sin, and it has been ever since. From the Garden of Eden, there's been a battle that has been raging, and it raged all the way down into the Valley of Gethsemane where our Lord Jesus Christ went to pray. And He said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done. That battle raged back and forth. Who has the right to rule? Who has the right to all glory and power? And there in the Valley of Gethsemane, Christ, in that garden, submitted His will to the Father as He always had. And He chose to go to Golgotha's hill, to Calvary. He said, Your will be done. He went to Golgotha's hill, and there the battle reached its fiercest. Satan, thinking that he was winning, was killing the Lord of life, was wiping out His, stamping out His life. Instead, in that very moment, the Lord of life was shedding His blood, redeeming you and I, purchasing us back from sin, death, the curse, and judgment. In that very moment on Golgotha's hill, on Calvary's hill, when Christ said, "It is finished," the price had been paid, the ransom have been made so that you could have eternal life and could be bought back and brought back into fellowship with God. In that very moment that occurred, but it was not sealed until 3 days later when He was placed into that grave, and 3 days later, death could not hold Him. The grave could not keep Him because the Lord of life could not be held in death. He rose victoriously, bodily, physically, from the grave, was seen by over 500 people, and attested that yes, He rose from the dead. They felt Him, they saw Him, they touched Him, they handled Him, they saw Him eat. They saw Him rise back into the skies, ascending back to heaven, where He is now receiving the honor and the praise and the glory that is due His name. From the Garden of Eden to Gethsemane, the Valley of Gethsemane, to Golgotha's hill, to the garden tomb, Christ is victor. And now He is in glory, receiving all, He is worthy, and He receives all glory, honor, and praise. Here's the thing. One day all creation will once again be brought properly under His rule. The question for you and for me is, do we recognize Him as worthy? Do we realize right now He is worthy of my praise? He is worthy of my all. He has redeemed me. He has purchased me. And because of that, because he shed his blood for me, he is worthy of me giving him all praise, honor, and glory that I can give him. He is worthy of my trust and my faith. That is the question when we come to Easter. It is clear the tomb is empty. You can visit the tombs of many great men, and they will tell you, here lies linen. Here lies the bones of Buddha. But when you go to where Christ was laying, you see but a borrowed tomb, an empty tomb, used only for 3 days, never to be used again. He is the Lord of life. He is worthy of all praise and honor and glory. As you stand with me this morning, the question is this. Have you recognized that he is worthy? And by that I mean, do you realize that he paid the price for you, that he died for you? Is there a time in your life when you said, yes, I recognize that Jesus died for me, that my sin separated me from God, and that I was guilty and worthy of eternal judgment? I know it's hot in here this morning. Your faces tell me that. I'm hot as well. The fires of hell are so much hotter. But guess what? You don't have to fear them. Because of the one who is worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. He is the one who has redeemed you. He paid the price for you. Have you received him as Lord and Savior? Christian, you're here this morning. Our duty is simply to proclaim him as, yes, Lord, you are worthy. To live our life saying, he is worthy of everything that I have and everything that I am. He is worthy of all my praise. And to go out and to say, Lord, I want to live for your glory. But if you're here this morning and you have never trusted Christ as Savior, there would be no better morning than this morning. Becky's going to play. And as we close, I would invite you, if there's never been a time when you've said, Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I need you to save me. I recognize that I'm separated from God, but I understand that you died for my place and you rose again. You paid my debt. You purchased me back. Thank you. I believe it. Would you save me? If there's never been a time in your life when you said something like that to the Lord, not to somebody else, but to the Lord, now is the time. And I would invite you to pray that to God. Talk to him like you would to any other person and say something similar. And then I'd invite you to make that known, stepping out from where you're at and coming forward and saying, Brother Nathan, I want to make that known today that I've trusted Christ as Savior. You respond.